जयं श्रीपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तरशत श्री श्रीमान अभय चरणारविंद भक्तिवेदांत गोस्वामी महाराज श्रील प्रभुपाद की जयं निथिलीला प्रविष्टो विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तरशत श्री श्रीमान भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती महाराज श्रील प्रभुपाद की అనందగోడి వైష్ణవ బృందకి నామాచార్య శ్రీహరిదాస్ ఠాకూర్కి ప్రేమ సహో శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్త బృందకి శ్రీ శ్రీ రాధాకృష్ణ గోప గోవినాథ శ్యామగుండ రాధాగుండ గిరి గోవర్ధానికి బృందావన్ ధామ్కి మాయపూర్ ధామ్కి మధురపురి ధామ్కి జగన్నాథ్పురి ధామ్కి ద్వారకాపురి ధామ్కి గంగమాయికి యమునమాయికి తులసిదేవికి భక్తిదేవికి సామవేద భక్త బృందకి గౌర్ ప్రేమానంది ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ శ్రీ శ్రీ గురు అండ్ శ్రీ గౌరాంగ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ శ్రీల ప్రభుపాద్ నమో విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణ ప్రసాయ బుదలే శ్రీమతి భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామి నిధి నామినే నమస్తే సరస్వదేవం గౌరవాణి ప్రచారిణే నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్య దేశధారిణి ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ సంసార సాగరే మగ్నం దీనం మాం కరుణానిధి శ్రీమద్భాగవదాఖ్యోయం ప్రత్యక్ష కృష్ణమేవ హి శ్రీకృతోసి మయా నాథ ముక్త్యర్థం భవసాగరే మనోరథే మదీయోయం సఫలా సర్వదా త్వయా నిర్విఘ్నేనైవ కర్తవ్యం దాసోహం తవ కేశవాం భవే భవే యథా భక్తి పాదయోస్తవ జాయతే తథా కురుష్వ దేవేశ నాథస్త్వం నో యద ప్రభో నామ సంకీర్తనం యస్య సర్వ పాప ప్రణాశనం ప్రణామో దుఃఖ శమనం తం నమామి హరిం పరం జన్మాద్యస్య యతోన్వయా ఇతరదస్ అర్థేషు విజ్ఞస్వరాన్ తేనే బ్రహ్మ హృదయ ఆదిగవై ముహ్యందియ సూరయం తేజో వారిమృదం యథా వినిమయో యత్ర త్రిసర్గో మృష దామ్నా స్వేన సదా నిరస్తకుహకం సత్యం పరం ధీమహి ధర్మ ప్రోజ్జిత కైదవోత్ర పరమో నిర్మత్సరాణాం సదాం వేద్యం వాస్తవమత్ర వస్తు శివదం తాపత్రయోన్మూలనం శ్రీమద్భాగవతే మహాముని కృతే కిం వా పరైరీశ్వర సద్యో హృది అవరుధ్యదేత్ర కృతిభి శుశ్రూషుభీ తక్షణాన్ నిగమకల్పదరోర్గలితం ఫలం శుకముఖాత్ అమృతద్రవ సంయుధం పిబద భాగవతం రసమాలయం ముహురహోరసిగా భువి భావుకాః సచ్చిదానందరూపాయ విశ్వోల్పత్యాదిహేతవే తాపత్రయ వినాశాయ శ్రీకృష్ణాయ వయం నుమాం యం ప్రవ్రజందం అనుభేదమవేదకృత్యం ద్వైవాహ్యనో విరహకాదరమాజ్జుహావ పుత్రేది తన్మయదయత్తరవోభినేదు తం సర్వభూతహృదయం మునిం ఆనతోస్మి యస్వానుభావమఖిల శ్రుతిసారమేకం అధ్యాత్మదీపం అతిథితీర్షదాం తమోంధం సంసారిణాం కరుణయాః పురాణగుహ్యం తం వ్యాససూనం ఉపయామి గురుం మునీనాం నారాయణం నమస్కృత్య నరం చైవ నరోత్తమం దేవీం సరస్వతీం వ్యాసం తతో జయముదీరయే కమనీయ కిశోరముగ్ధమూర్తే కలవేణు కొణితాదృదాననేందోః మమ వాచి విజృంభదా మురారే మధురిం నా కనికాపి కాపి కావీ ఓం విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణప్రస్థాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతే భక్తివేదాంత స్వామిన్ ఇతి నామినే నమస్తే సరస్వతీదేవీం గౌరవాణి ప్రచారిణే నిర్విశేషశూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్యాదేశధారిణే శ్రీమల్ గురుచరణారవిందాభ్యాం నమః. వందే నందవ్రజస్త్రీణం పాదరేణుమభీష్ణశ యాసం హరిగతోద్గీతం పునాదీ భువనత్రయం గోపీచరణారవింద పరమాణవే నమః. పీతాంబరం కరవిరాజితచక్రశంఖం కౌమోదకీ సరసిజం కరుణాసముద్రం రాధాసహాయం అతిసుందరమందహాసం వాతాళయేశమనిశం హృది భావయామి. కోమలం కూజయన్ వేణుం శ్యామళోయం కుమారక వేదవేద్యపరం బ్రహ్మ వాసదాం పురతో మమ. మూకం కరోతి వాచాలం పంగుం లంఘయదే గిరిం యల్కృపాతమహం వందే పరమానందమాధవం. శ్రీకృష్ణాయ నమః. శ్రీమతి రాధికాయే నమః. సర్వత్ర గోవిందనామ సంకీర్తనం గోవింద గోవింద. సో ధ్యానయోగం, దట్ ఈస్ ది చాప్టర్ ఇన్ భగవద్గీత విచ్ ఈస్ ది సిక్స్త్ చాప్టర్ ఇస్ దట్ వాట్ వి డిస్కసింగ్. సో వి సా లాస్ట్ సండే దట్ సన్యాసం మీన్స్ వాట్? సన్యాసం మీన్స్ to completely break away from everything, completely to give up. And yoga means to join. So sannyasam, Krishna is saying here, what we say as yogam is the same thing Krishna is saying as sannyasam. In other words, yogam with Krishna is sannyasam from the world, isn't it? So practically what happens is, once the connection with the world is over, which is sannyasam, connection with Krishna has started. In other words, start means it's established fully. So yogam and sannyasam basically is referring to the same action in result. In result, it's the same thing. Sannyasam means the connection with the world is over, but yogam means the we have connected with the with Krishna completely. Therefore, Krishna says here that that సంకల్పం, కృష్ణ సైడ్ దాట్ ఇన్ ద లాస్ట్ వర్డ్స్ ఇస్ అండ్ ఇన్ నహి అసన్యస్త సంకల్పో యోగీ భవతి కశ్చన. దాట్స్ వై కృష్ణ సెడ్ లైక్ దాట్ ఇన్ ది వర్డ్స్ నంబర్ టూ. కృష్ణ సైజ్ నహి అసన్యస్త సంకల్పం యోగీ భవతి కశ్చన. హీ బికమ్ ఇఫ్ హీ హ్యాస్ నాట్ గివన్ అఫ్ ద సంకల్పం దెన్ హీ కెనాట్ బికమ్ ఎ యోగి. సో ద ఫస్ట్ ద సంకల్పం హ్యాస్ టు కమ్ టు ఎన్ ఎండ్. సో మెనీ సంకల్పం ఇన్ సైడ్ ఇస్ అండ్ ఇట్ ఎవ్రీబడీస్ మైండ్ ఈస్ ఫుల్ ఆఫ్ సంకల్పం. So sankalpam comes to an end and then he becomes a yogi. Krishna says there, yogi bhavati kaschana. So Krishna says here, sankalpa sanyasam nahi asanyasta sankalpo. In other words, sankalpa sanyasam, that is what is referred to. So as I mentioned before, sankalpam is always there inside, isn't it? Even while you are hearing now Bhagavad Gita, there is so many sankalpam going on inside. So many plans are going on inside. That sankalpam, that's what Krishna says here. That world of dreams, actually the nature of the very mind itself is to dream all the time. And once that sankalpam has completely stopped or dreaming has fully stopped, Krishna says that state is yogam. That state is yogam. So actually we discussed last Sunday also, every time when the mind is absorbed in thoughts, thought waves are coming, which is known as chittavritti. When the chittavritti is happening, our energy is getting wasted in that process. unnecessarily dreaming about millions of things in this world, all the energy gets exhausted in that way. That's where, as I gave the example, that as soon as you go to your office in the morning and then sit there, in the first few hours, if you had to get involved with some major decision making, you can see you are exhausted after that. A lot of energy is spent because of the constant absorption of the mind in various thoughts behind it, chittavritti. So that's why Krishna says here that the energy that is wasted in that way, that we gave the example, the two possibilities, that one thing is that, just as an example, when you get angry, for example, anger comes. The anger has got two ways you can get rid of that, isn't it? One, by displaying the anger totally on the person to whom you had with whom you have become angry. So you get angry with him and show your anger completely, and the energy is dissipated in that way. Alternatively, Krishna says that that you can absorb it inside. You can absorb it inside. That means that even if you get angry, you don't show it outside, you keep it inside and control yourself. So both these situations, so when does that happen? Therefore, the person with whom you are getting angry, if he is more powerful than you, then naturally you will control the anger. But if that person is weaker, then you will actually display the anger to him. So this is the only two ways it can be done. So in either way, the psychic energy inside is destroyed, is wasted in that. So urjama, the mental urjam, urja means the energy that is getting destroyed here. So if you take it inwards, control yourself, that destroys the nerves inside. It causes kind of depression and all kinds of problems inside. But if you, sankalpa sannyasam, Krishna is saying here, that sankalpa means that this thought that's coming in, it goes back to the soul and gets itself destroyed there. That is why sankalpa sannyasam, Krishna says here. Without allowing any sankalpam to develop inside, how is that possible? Not to allow that sankalpam to develop inside. That's why Krishna is going to talk about in the next verse. So one of the processes Krishna has in the Bhagavatam also spoken about is chanting the holy name. Continuously chanting the holy name, it is possible to arrest or to stop this sankalpam developing inside. If we continuously chant, but it has to be for a long period of time, one has to chant. And that's why this was one process many devotees and others have taken shelter in order to arrest this, the sankalpams developing inside. So one who cannot do the analysis of the soul, or who cannot absorb themselves in the connection with the soul, as we have talked about before, if that is not possible, at least we have to train the mind to chant the holy name. Somehow or the other, it has to happen, because this sankalpam inside causes all the problems. So the mind, which is going on all directions, if somehow or the other it gets fixed in the holy name, then just it will not wander around too much. I don't know whether you have noticed what they do with the elephants. When they have a habit of their trunk, they're swinging both ways. When they move, they swing the trunk both ways, this way and that way, like this. So what they do, the elephant keeper or the mahouts, what they do, they give some big leaves, which they normally eat, a huge chunk of that to them. So it has to hold it like this and then walk. So it is given to them not for eating, so that it carries, so that it doesn't swing both directions. Because we keep swinging, it gives trouble to others on the road or on the street. So the elephant keepers know this psychology, that you give something to the trunk to hold on to, so that the trunk doesn't keep swinging like that. So they generally do that with the elephants. So in the same way, somehow or the other, if the mind can be fixed on the holy name, and then naturally you can see the chittavritti, what is happening inside, the mind will come to a stable position. It will come under control. So that's why chanting is important. Even if we don't expect big results, at least the chanting is the first stage to begin with, to bring that mind under control. So accordingly, and Krishna says here that this will result. Yogam is different. You see, in the Patanjali's Yoga Sutram, it's mentioned Yoga ha Chitta Vritti Nirodha. Chitta Vritti means this thought process continuously happening, arresting them or stopping them is called Yoga. It's called Yoga. So the Chitta Vritti, once it comes to a stop, then Patanjali says you are already in the Yoga state. That means it's not anymore causing any problems inside. So therefore, Yoga Chitta Vritti Nirodha, that is the Yoga state. So, and that is that state, one is complete in oneself, one is not disturbed by anything. So chanting the holy name and in satsangam and all these things, and is not to understand anything. This is our misunderstanding actually. To think that I have to understand something, there is nothing to be understood. Practically what happens is in satsangam as well as during the chanting process also, the chittavritti comes to a stop. Chittavritti comes to a stop. So if it is something to be understood with the mind, that anybody can learn from the books, isn't it? It's not necessary that you have to go for a satsangam. It's not necessary. There are so many, everything is available now on the books or internet or in the CDs or cassettes, everywhere, everything is available. So that shows that it's not something to be understood with the mind. That is not the purpose behind it. On the other hand, that even if it was some time, if you don't allow any chittavritti to develop inside, no chittavritti develops inside, then that itself is a big thing. Because to such an extent the mind is volatile. Constantly agitated mind, constantly looking for sense gratification or constantly absorbed in millions of thoughts in this world, Krishna says that is not favorable for developing spiritual life, spiritual consciousness. So this sixth chapter, Dhyana Yogam, prior to Dhyana Yogam, this stopping this Chittavritti is more important. What you see in the Ekadasha Skandam, in the Bhagavadam, is that state after this Chittavritti has come to a stop. After that what happens is what is spoken in the Ekadasha. In the Canto 11, what you see there is that the activities inside, after the mind has come to a standstill. But before coming to the standstill, the mind has to come through these stages. That means Chittavritti has to come to a state. But that is why often when they go with a lot of Chittavritti inside, they go for meditation, they'll fall asleep. So, Sankalpa means Chittavritti. So, when the Sankalpa does not develop inside, that state, Krishna calls it as Yogam. So, one who has not reached that state, Krishna says, you cannot call him as a sannyasi. That is why we were talked about two things, isn't it? Sannyasi's two symptoms are, one, Krishna says here, Yogam asanyasta sangalpam. That means sangalpam has completely stopped. And anashrita karma phalam. Remember that? Anashrita karma phalam karyam karma garodiya sa sannyasi. So sannyasi's first definition is that anashrita karma phalam. He is not looking for any results from this world, from his activities. Any sannyasi who is looking for some results in the world, he is not a sannyasi. That means he is not situated on the platform of sannyas. That's very clear. That is why Krishna says anashrita karma phalam, the first symptom of a sannyasi. Second symptom, Krishna says yes, asanyasta sangalpam. He should not only expect not have any results from his karma. Secondly, he also must have the asanyasta sangalpam. He must have given up all sangalpam inside. So there is no other way that you can find out who is a sannyasi with this understanding. Who is a sannyasi? Nahi asanyasta sangalpa yogi bhavati kashchana. Krishna says there. Isn't it? One who has not given up sannyasam, one who has not given up sangalpam, or one who has not sacrificed all the sangalpam, he will never be a yogi. So one who is giving up all the sangalpam, it is called sannyasam. One who has given up sangalpam is sannyasam. So once you have given up that sangalpam, we go back to the soul and joining the soul is called yogam, joining the soul. Yes, yam sanyasam iti prahu. Krishna says, sannyasi is the yogi and yogi is the sannyasi. There is not practically any difference. If you look at that verse, second verse, yam sanyasam iti prahu yogam tam vidhi pandava. One who is a sannyasi, he is a yogi. And one who is a yogi, he is a sannyasi. So one who has found the soul, one who has realized the soul, he is a sannyasi. One who has known himself, in other words. Or one who has self-realized. And another place, jnanam sannyasa lakshanam. The symptom of the sannyasam is realization, knowledge. So knowledge of the self is symptom of sannyasam. Knowledge of the self. And that itself is called yogam. So, so sometimes we misunderstand yoga means different asanas, isn't it? That there is hundreds of asanas mentioned in the Yoga Sutram also. And Ashtanga Yogam, when they teach asanas, like Padmasanam, Vajrasanam, there are so many asanas mentioned there. So, Shirshasanam, all these things. Krishna is saying here that yogam is Chittavritti Nirodha Yogam. That's yogam, what we are hearing from the yoga schools. That is not the yoga what Krishna is talking about in the Bhagavad Gita. We should not get misunderstood with that. The yoga schools which they are teaching outside, where they're teaching all the asanas and all that, that is all belongs to the Hatha Yogam and other activities related to that. It is not that yogam Krishna is talking about in the Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita is not talking about that yoga system. Here, Krishna is talking about that yoga which is Chittavritti Nirodham, where one controls the Chittavritti, not the Hatha Yogam or other things what we find in the yoga schools. So, in other words, finding our own self, the soul, is the process what Krishna's yoga system in this sixth chapter, what he is going to talk about, and later on in the Ekadasha Skandham also. It is not the other yoga processes what we are talking about, the different asanas or Hatha Yoga process, what is being taught in the yoga schools elsewhere. So here Krishna says, finding out ourselves what we are, our own identity, Krishna calls it as yogam or self-realization. So that yogam, Krishna says, gives complete satisfaction and shanti, peace inside. So sometimes how to advance in this process, Krishna says, if you sit down and try controlling your breath and pranayama and all other things, if you try to do that, if you have that maturity, you can try. But we don't have that maturity to follow that Hatha Yoga process. It is not easy. That if we have the control on ourselves and able to control the thoughts in that way, Hatha Yoga process is also a very complex process. Generally, it is not recommended to go in that route for various reasons, that it is a very complex process, and unless there is a teacher who knows and who has advanced in that process, one should not even touch in that, go in that direction, because it can even destroy oneself. Destroy oneself. So therefore, it is mentioned like that. So, one devotee asked that if this yoga system is just simply controlling the mind, shall I sit down quietly and do that and try? The Mahatma said to him, you try, give it a try, see how long you can sit quietly. But we know practical example that it is not possible to sit quietly. Most of the people will find it very, very hard, because from inside that strong urge comes out to engage in some activity. Karma vasanas are so strong inside. So that's why Krishna says here, there is something from inside very powerfully will push us into action. So this is what is called karma vasana. This thing inside in us, 2 minutes if you sit one place, immediately you get up, there's some thoughts have come and it taken elsewhere. So move somewhere else. This is the karma vasana inside. And this karma vasana, if you want to see what that karma vasana is, all you have to do is to sit for half an hour in some place. And then you can see how strong the karma vasana is inside. Karma vasana will push you in that direction. Or in other words, one trip will start inside, a mental trip will start inside. So, and then you may think that you are actually in meditation, but actually we can see that this meditation doesn't work like that. Meditation is not possible. Once one sannyasi who came to an ashramam and he was living there for quite some time. And one day he used to go and sit in the cave and do meditation. After meditation he came out and he told others, in the meditation I went to Haridwar, I went to Hrishikesh, I went to so many holy places and all that. So another Mahalma who was present there, he said, yeah, that's a meditation I can imagine, he said. Actual meditation, you don't go anywhere. These are all chittavritti coming out inside. Going here, going there. Those things doesn't happen. So samadhi state is like that. So this actual samadhi is that state where is no more chittavritti developing inside. No chittavritti develops inside. That state is called samadhi. In other words, there is no vigalpam inside. There is no vigalpam inside. So samadhi, you have only one experience. That what is that experience? In samadhi state is where you experience fully conscious of your awareness. That I am that soul. That is a samadhi state. In the samadhi state, that's all what you experience. That you are fully conscious of your realization of the self. In other words, that experience, I am existing. My awareness of my existence is complete. And completely disconnected from the body, mind, intelligence. And fully situated on the platform of the soul. That is what Krishna calls it as the self-realization state. So, and that state, in that state, after reach that state, then one can engage in meditation, what Krishna says in the Ekadasha Skandam, after reaching that state. Otherwise, it is not possible to reach that state so easily. Otherwise, we will read these verses in the Bhagavatam and think, why not give it a try? And immediately it will fail. It won't work in that way. So, Krishna says here that that state is, it is not easier, but at the same time, first thing in that direction is to direct the karmam in the proper way. First to direct the karmam in the proper way. If karmam is not sorted out, all other things cannot be done. It will not work. It simply won't work. We may think, I will find some shortcut to Krishna. There is no shortcut to Krishna. Krishna has given certain rules, we follow that. We take the easiest route, isn't it? So maybe engage in some spiritual activity, what we think, that, but inside is all full of karmavasanas inside. And with all the karmavasanas inside, it is impossible to come to that state of bhakti, what Krishna is going to talk about. When we discuss bhakti yoga, we will see what bhakti is, when we come to the 12th chapter. Bhakti, we misunderstand bhakti in so many different ways. It's like if you look into Patanjali's Yoga Sutram, Patanjali says there, Yogaha Chittavritti Nirodha, he said that, then he calls that Yoga Adesham, that means you should engage in this yoga system, he says, of this Chittavritti Nirodham. So Patanjali's Yoga Sutram and Vedavyasa Maharshi's Brahma Sutram also, in the same way, when Brahma Sutram begins, Vedavyasa Maharshi says, Athado Brahma Jitnyasa. How to create jitnyasa inside to advance in the path of knowledge. So, Brahma Sutram begins with advancing in the path of knowledge, Athado Brahma Jitnyasa. He says, jitnyasa is necessary to advance on the path of knowledge. For yogam process, what Patanjali is discussing in the Yoga Sutram, he says, Yogaha Chittavritti Nirodha. Chittavritti, first stop that, before we move further. But when it comes to Bhakti Sutram, Sri Narada Maharshi wrote the famous book known as Narada Bhakti Sutram. If you look into Narada Bhakti Sutram, Sri Narada Maharshi says there, he does not put any preconditions to bhakti. Jnanam and yogam both have preconditions. Bhakti doesn't have preconditions. Adi bhakti idi vyakhyasyama. He says like that and he begins the bhakti process. But when we start reading Narada Bhakti Sutram and when we start reading Krishna's discussion on Bhakti Yogam in the 12th chapter in the Bhakti Yogam of the Bhagavad Gita, you can see the close relationship there between Bhakti Sutram and Bhakti Yogam in the Bhagavad Gita. There, Bhakti Yogam is discussed in such a way that you can see that the Just like Jnanam process and the Yoga process, Bhakti also requires certain preconditions are attached to it. That there is certain things has to happen. That's why he's saying here that this state, what is existing, that the state of meditation or Dhyanam, that has to happen first in order that proper Bhakti to develop inside. The Dhyanam has to happen. So all the great devotees, if you look, you will see there that all the they have gone through that stage. They came to that state, they did not sit down for meditation. On the other hand, Dhyanam has captured them. They didn't go after Dhyanam to sit in one room and close in the eyes and practice yoga, Dhyana Yoga. They didn't do that. What has happened to them through the chanting process and hearing Srimad Bhagavatam and completely absorbing the mind in Krishna, eventually instead of them capturing Krishna, Krishna captured them. That's what has happened. That is how the Dhyanam can happen. That when Krishna comes in and takes over, then the problem is solved. Then you don't have to put the effort of meditating on Krishna. You can see in the Bhagavatam, Sukadeva Goswami mentions this. Ya dohane avahanane madhanobalega prenghem khanabi arudidokshana marjadena gayandi jainam anurakta diyaha ashrukandyaha dhanya vrajastriya urukrama chittayana. If you look into the chapter where Kamsa was getting killed in that in the 10th canto, in that chapter, you will see the personalities, the women in Mathura, they were talking about the gopis, their good fortune. When they saw Krishna, the Krishna was walking through the streets in Mathura with Balaram together and all the other cowherd boys. So many things happened at that time, isn't it, in Mathura. So while he was walking through that, the women came into the terrace and they were looking at Krishna and Balaram. And they are making this statement. Ya dohane avahanane madanobhalepam prengim khanabi arididokshanam arjideena. Then they were saying about the gopis. Gopis had complete meditation of Krishna. Not on their own. Krishna has gone in and started controlling the gopis' heart, gopis' mind. So while cleaning the floor, while milking the cows, while churning the buttermilk, all the time they were completely absorbed in Krishna. Aridhidokshana marjidena. What else did they do? Gayandi chainam anurakta diyaha ashrukandyaha. That while they were engaged in all these activities, they were singing about the glories of Krishna. Unknowingly it was happening to them. Not that they were putting all the effort to sing about Krishna. There was no, it was happening effortlessly, without any effort. Because Krishna has taken over inside. Gayandi chainam anurakta diyaha ashrukandyaha. That not only that, when they were singing about Krishna, continuously their tears were coming from their eyes. This is the state of yoga Krishna is going to talk about in the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. Gayandi chainam anurakta diyaha ashrukandyaha dhanya vrajastriya urukrama chittayana. Dhanya Vrajastriya, that Vrajastri or the gopis are so dhanyam, they are so fortunate that Urukrama Chittayana, their chittam, their chittavritti has stopped completely and Krishna has gone in. So all chittavritti was centered around Krishna. There was chittavritti, but chittavritti was all about Krishna. This is called dhyanam. That state, when whole chittavritti becomes centered around Krishna, that chittavritti will be there, but chittavritti has become all about Krishna. Krishna has come in. So that's why it says, Prahlada also says the same thing. If you look into Prahlada's story in the gopis mentions in that time, Vismartam naiva shaknuma, that even if we want to forget about Krishna, we can't forget it. Gopis are saying, that is meditation, that is dhyanam. Not we put all the effort to remember something. All the time devotees ask this, isn't it? Should I remember the pastime while I am chanting? You cannot do it. It won't work. It will last for 10 seconds before then it's gone to the office or to the house or football ground somewhere else it will go. So where mind will go, nobody knows anything about it. So powerful is that mind. So, but gopis are saying in the Bhagavatam, Vismartam naiva shaknuma. We cannot even forget it, he says. Gopis are saying, even if we want to forget about Krishna, it's not possible. That is dhyanam. That is meditation. So that meditation, Krishna is talking about that in the many verses. So it didn't happen overnight to the gopis also. It took a long, long, many lifetimes effort to get to that stage. So we shouldn't think, oh, we are all following gopis. We are closely, directly in contact with Radharani. So we'll be doing the same thing like them. It's not going to work out like that. It's all imagination in the head. So here, the point is, when the gopis have reached that state, vismartum naiva shaknuma, that we can't even forget Krishna, even if we want to, gopis are saying. Even if they want, we can't forget. Whereas normally, what is it? We are trying to remember Krishna. You see, it's just the opposite. We want to remember Krishna, but we can't. Gopis are saying, we cannot forget Krishna, even if we want to. That is the difference. That's a big difference, isn't it? It's a big difference between the gopis and us. We are trying very hard to remember Krishna. It doesn't last more than 5 seconds. We are finished. And then it will come back after 2 hours if we want to remember. That's our mind. Gopis are saying, Vismartum naiva shaknuma. Even if we want to forget it, we can't forget it. So that's the state. So gopis are saying, yeah, that is why Prahlada says the same thing. In the Bhagavatam, if you look in the 7th canto, he says, Nyastra kridana gobhalo jadavattamanastaya krishnagraha grihidalma naveda jagadi drisham. Krishnagraha grihidalma. Nyastra kridana yo bala. That when he was a little boy, Prahlada was a little boy, he had no interest in playing anything. He had no interest in playing anything. Prahlada's childhood. In the Shrimad Bhagavatam, Sridharana Maharshi is talking about him in this way. That jadavattamanastaya, the mind was like a jadam. That means it has no interest in anything, what was going on in this world. Krishna graha grihi dalma and naveda jagati idrisham. Krishna graha grihi dalma. Krishna graha grihi dalma means that just like normally if you are caught by any planet like Saturn, Jupiter or any planets, they will have their own effect on us, isn't it? Different planets have different influences on the living entity. Here, the planet which has caught Prahlada was Krishna Graha, Krishna, the planet. Planet Krishna himself has caught him like that so strongly, so therefore he says, Krishna Graha Grihi Dalma, Naveda Jagadi Drasham. What was going on in this world was unknown to Prahlada. That was that state of Krishna consciousness Prahlada was in. So for them, the meditation was not like the way we are. They didn't go through the way we are trying to go through. So therefore, it is we want to catch hold of Krishna, but we are unable to do it. Instead of we catching Krishna, Krishna is catching us. So there's a big difference there, isn't it? So, dhyanam, Krishna says, when that stage of dhyanam happens, automatically all the karmam leaves you. The karmam naturally will leave you. You don't have to give up the karmam. So Krishna's point is that if Krishna has caught us in that way, like the way Krishna has caught the gopis, or Krishna has caught Prahlada, if that happens, that you cannot work after that. Working becomes very difficult because work will naturally leave you at that point. Not that we gave it up, the work left us. There's a big difference there. We are, when we talking about sannyasam and all, we are saying that I've given up all my material work. We have given up all the material activities. But vasanas have not gone completely. So therefore, that vasana will come up in some other form even after sannyasam. Even after sannyasam, it'll come in some other form. And that will manifest in different ways, isn't it? It can come back in different ways. And it will disturb us in some form or the other. So Krishna says that when Krishna, that's what we have to be careful about, asanyasta sangalpam. If the sangalpam has not happened properly inside, the sangalpam will keep coming back and create new sangalpam, fresh sangalpam inside, and we'll go after that. So similarly, karmam also is like that. So if you look into Chaitanya Charitamrita, you will see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to teach Tarkashastram in Navadvip. In Navadvip, he used to teach Tarkashastram. So he used to go to teach Tarkashastram, but what happened was the same situation like Prahlada, Krishna graha grihi dalma. Inside, Krishna has taken over control completely. So it's forgotten about teaching Tarkashastram. It all turned out to be talking about Krishna at the end. This is what has happened to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's early life when he was teaching Tarkashastram in Navadvip. You can see this in the Chaitanya Charitamrita mentions there. So, if Krishna catches hold of anyone, if Krishna gets hold of anybody, then we are not meditating anymore. Meditation has caught us. That's what it means, isn't it? Meditation gets us. We are not going after meditation anymore. This meditation process cannot be done in a mechanical way, like the way we think about it. So once we reach that state, meditation has happened inside in a way. Krishna talks about it, like the way the gopis have happened, or the Narada and Prahlada has happened, or like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has happened. What will happen at that stage is all karmam will leave us. There's no more attachment to the karmam anymore. Karmam. Why does that happen? Because all karma vasanas have gone. Only at that stage this will happen. Krishna will get in and take control there only when this karma vasanas have gone. Till then it will not happen. This is the reason why Krishna is saying, first this karma vasanas have to leave before we talking about other things in the meditation process. So how to do that? Krishna says that in whatever karma mandalam, whatever phase of life we are in, we have to execute that work, but keeping that identity of the doership, taking that away. One has to learn that to come out of that doership. That is what is discussed in the Bhagavad Gita for many chapters, isn't it? How to free oneself from that ownership. I am the doer. Kartratvam, bhoktratvam, two things it says there. So, kartratra, bhoktratra, rahidam. And when we inquire that who is actually absorbed in that, that who is this person who is doing that, if we ask that question, immediately you will know where it's coming from. That the false ego is answering back, saying that who is the doer. Isn't it? As soon as we ask that question, false ego will answer from inside that who is doing it. Krishna says very emphatically, very categorically, Krishna says, Vedavyasa Maharshi also says in the Bhagavad Gita as well as in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Prakriti Kriyamanani Gunai Karmani Sarvasha Ahangara Vimudhalma Kartaham Iti Manyate. Actually, all the work is carried out by the material nature, not by us. Prakriti is doing it. Material nature is doing everything. Not us. We are not doing anything. It is happening through us. But Ahangara Vimudhalpa, when there is false ego inside, he is saying that I am the doer. Kartaham Idi Manyate. Same thing will come in the third canto in the Bhagavatam also. So you can see that in order to realize that state, that I am not the doer, the Krishna is telling us in the Bhagavad Gita the statement about who is the doer. And still we will question that. Therefore, when we ask this question, you can take it that if you are getting the answer back, I am doing it, means it's coming from the false ego. If you have the realization, I am not doing it, we have to be honest to ourselves. If you are feeling that you are not doing it, then the understanding that the body is engaged in activity, mind is absorbed in activity, the soul is not in action. But Ahangaram is answering, but the actions are happening through the body and the mind. This realization will come. And this won't happen easily. Even Dhruva Maharaj, when he went to sat down for meditation, he was fully under the realization he is doing it. And the determination of that Kshatriya boy was so strong that he decided, I'll do this. And he was so determined to go through that. Even when Narada Maharshi tried to stop him, Dhruva Maharaj didn't have any knowledge about any of these things mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita. He made up his mind, got offended from Father Uttanavada, and decided to go to the forest and realize the truth on instructions from Sunidhi, mother. So he goes there and he performed very severe austerities and penances. As you know, in the Bhagavatam you can read that. 6 months, intense austerities, no proper food, surviving on the air, on the leaf, sometimes there was no water, and eventually purely on the air from the atmosphere, what he was breathing. So at the end of that, when Krishna appeared in front of Dhruva Maharaj, Krishna made that vaikari to wake up from inside. These transcendental realizations came from inside, but touching the cheek with the conch shell. Krishna touches the conch shell of. At that time, the first verse that came from Dhruva Maharaj, glorifying Krishna, you can read through and you can see how immediately he realized that Yonda pravishya mama vacham imam prasuptam sanjeevayat agila shaktidhara swadhamna anyamscha hastajarana shravanam togadin pranan namo bhagavate purushaya tubhyam. Dhruva Maharaj is saying there, Yonda pravishya mama vacham imam prasuptam. Somebody has entered inside me. In other words, Krishna was already there. It was not Krishna was entering then. He was already there. But the awareness of Krishna's presence, Dhruva Maharaj felt at that moment. He became aware of Krishna's presence and started realizing it is only due to Krishna's presence inside. Mama vacham imam prasuptam. All the words I am able to speak now. And there is a famous glorification coming from Dhruva after that. Sanjeevayati ahila shakti dharaswadhamnam. That the whole body, mind, intelligence, everything is functioning is only by whose presence? Dhruva Maharaj is accepting the presence of Krishna inside. Anyamscham hastacharana shravanam togadin. Hands, legs, all the karmendriyam, all senses of action, they are all performing only due to one reason. Prana namo bhagavate purushaya tubhyam. That addressing Krishna, that pranan inside the energy, who is parcel of Krishna, part of Krishna. Addressing that, Dhruva Maharaj is saying only due to Krishna's presence inside, all these things are functioning in the body. So that is the first recognition from Dhruva Maharaj you can see when you read the Dhruva's glorification in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So he says there that what I am talking with my tongue, when I am smelling, when I am hearing through my ears, or when I am smelling something, or any other activities of any of the senses, Krishna says that if, Dhruva Maharaj says, if Krishna withdraws from that, none of these senses can function, neither the senses of knowledge or the senses of action can function anymore. They are stopped. They are finished there on the spot. So that's why he says here that to that personality who is the cause of all these things, to him I pay my respectful obeisances. This is how Dhruva's glorification begins here. So for all actions, what's happening inside, he is the doer actually. It is only due to his presence it's happening. And he is the enjoyer as well. And he says here, one who knows these things, he is a sannyasi. One who has known this, he is a sannyasi. So, but everybody will forget this. It's not going to be in this platform. Not many people can stay in that zone. Every time when we forget this, distress will capture us. We'll be in distress. The moment we forget this, we will be in distress. So that means the moment we stop asking this question, who I am, or we have this conviction that I am that false ego inside, false ego will come up. So otherwise it's enough once if we think about it, but it's not enough. Once if we think, it will go, the next second it will go. Again it will come back in some other form. That's the very nature of this. So constantly taking attention of this on this false ego and the movement of this false ego, if we lose that attention on that, it will come back and it will create hundreds of vichepam or vigalpam in the mind. It will create hundreds of vigalpam inside. Therefore, Krishna says that always one has to keep shraddha, attention on this one point. One has to keep his attention. So that is why if even for a moment, if there is no jagrata, there is no alertness, it will go. From our attention will go from the soul to the false ego. And then you may think that you are the doer and you are the enjoyer. And at the same time, all the family problems and spiritual problems, all these problems will come in at that time when this happens. All the family problems will come as well as all the spiritual problems also will come at that stage. So ultimately what will happen? Spiritual life itself will become a problem. when this goes to a higher stage, then that is when the because we are not situated in that platform, spiritual life itself will become a problem. Most of us, what we are doing with the strength of the mind, we are carrying on in spiritual life, isn't it? But Krishna is saying that won't go very far. Up to a certain stage you can go with the strength of the mind. When the mind gets weak, immediately you will lose that strength to continue in the spiritual life. So therefore, Krishna says, therefore, this is where it is interesting. That we are thinking that somebody who has understood Bhagavad Gita, oh, he has understood everything, now he has no problems. That is not true. Whether one has understood Bhagavad Gita, one who has not understood Bhagavad Gita, they are both sitting in the same bench. They are sitting on the same bench. There is no difference, because this is not a subject to be understood. That is the main thing. Spiritual life, Krishna, what Krishna is talking about in all the chapters in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna's point is this is not something to be understood. Because understanding is with what? Again with the mind. Again with the sane mind. When we understood something, if somebody says he has understood something, he has to ask the question, who has understood? Then it makes sense. If the false ego has understood something, that won't last. It will go. So when we say that we have understood something from Bhagavad Gita, you have to ask who has understood. If you ask that question, if the false ego is coming back, says to you, he has understood, then you can take it, it won't last long. But if the reply is coming from the soul, realization of the self, which is the proper understanding of it, the realization is happening of one's own true identity, then you can refer that is realization. That is realization. So similarly, one who says he has not understood, he also has to ask the question, who has not understood? So whether one says he has understood or someone says he has not understood, they are both answering from the same platform, because both of them are trying to understand with the mind. And spiritual life and Krishna consciousness is not something to be understood with the mind. Mind cannot get there. In the Upanishads, the statement is very clear about that it is beyond the mind. Mano vachama gocharam, it says. Beyond the mind and the words, the truth. Truth is beyond all these things. So trying to touch with and we have seen before, anything you touch with the mind, it gets polluted. It gets polluted, isn't it? Any thought wave that comes and mind gets absorbed in that, it creates a lot of sankalpa vikalpam centered around that thought wave. And same thing, if the mind gets absorbed in finding out what the soul is, the same thing will happen to the soul as well. Soul also will get impolluted by these thought waves that comes from. So, so that ahamkriti, that will come to a stop. So when these thought wave stops by realizing what we are, that we have nothing to do with the body, nothing to do with the mind, nothing to do with the intelligence, nor with the ego, when we move away from that platform to the platform of the soul, Krishna says in a natural way, Krishna, as he mentioned in the previous chapter, Suhridam sarva bhudanam nyatvamam shanti mrachari. That Krishna who is present inside, nyatvamam, we come to know who is inside, and naturally it is followed by the shanti. So that is why when Bhagavad Gita, when it is being taught, you may understand the different meanings of the words anvayam. Anvayam means how it is properly set up, the verses. Anvayam, artham, both these things are there. If you understand that is called mukhyartham. Mukhyartham. Mukhyartham, they call it in two different things. One is called mukhyartham and the other one is called lakshyartham. Mukhyartham means you have understood the verses. For example, many people study Bhagavad Gita completely through the mind and the intelligence. They study the Bhagavad Gita and they will understand the verses, what it says. And each word by word they can understand, and they can understand the translation, everything. That is called mukhyartham. Lakshyartham means ultimately where does it take you? The studying Bhagavad Gita. So that is laksham. Laksham means goal, isn't it? So lakshyartham is more important, not the mukhyartham. Mukhyartham is not important. Lakshyartham is important in the sense that after studying Bhagavad Gita, If you are moving towards self-realization or understanding the self, Krishna says that is Lakshyartham. Best example is when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Srirangam. You know that famous story. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Srirangam, Ranganatha's temple, while he was traveling in the south. So while he was there, there was many scholars who were in the temple. On regular basis, they were reading Mahabharatam, Ramayanam, Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, many various Vedic literature, they were reciting there. So among the many scholars who were present there, there was one Brahmana who was not so intelligent, in the sense that his knowledge of the Bhagavad Gita and Shastram was very poor. Not even he could read properly. He was reading with the lots of mistakes. And sometimes he couldn't read, he was stopping, breaking the words and in wrong places. Sometimes verses, if you mispronounce it and read it in the wrong way, it could really be a disaster. One who is hearing it, it will really disturb that person. So the scholars who were present there, they were very disturbed the way he was reading Bhagavad Gita. But he was reading it every day. He was coming and sitting there with others and he was reading it every day. So others used to shout at him to get out from there, reading like this. He says, not real, reading properly, anything, everything full of mistakes. And if you keep reading like that, the meaning will become something different. What Krishna has meant in the Bhagavad Gita, some other meaning will come out of it. So the Brahmana never cared for, others were all criticizing him heavily for that. And some of them told him even to leave from the in front of the deity, sitting there and reading everything completely wrong. Supposed to be glorifying the deity. So full of mistakes. So others who were present there, they couldn't bear that. So they told him to leave the place. But he won't go. He'll come back, sit there, and he will read still. While reading, tears were coming from his eyes. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went there, he saw all these scholarly Brahmana sitting there and talking about it, and saw this person who was crying, looking at Bhagavad Gita. Mahaprabhu goes up to him, embraces him, and tells him, you are the person who has understood Bhagavad Gita. Means that Lakshyartham he had. By reading Bhagavad Gita, he understood who is Krishna. What is Krishna is understood. He was not still on the platform of the mind. Rather, that pure love for Krishna was flowing out from inside. That is why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told him, you have got the Lakshyartham, not the Vakyartham, not the meaning of the words. But the goal, meaning of the goal, you have got it inside. In other words, bhakti is such a thing that all other things become insignificant when bhakti manifests in a person in that level. That is Krishna's mercy to that Brahmana. So he says here that people argue about these things in the Shastram also. Krishna says here, Lakshyartham means complete satisfaction inside, complete peace inside. That is Lakshyartham. Purna Tripti Shandi. That is why Krishna says, Yatuamam Shandi Mruchadi. After, in the previous chapter, if you remember, in the fifth chapter, at the very last verse, Krishna says, Bhoktaram Yajnadavasam Sarvaloka Maheshwaram. When Suhrudam Sarvabhudanam, when you realize Krishna inside, Yatuamam Shandi Mruchadi. Shandi is the goal. How Shandi comes. So here, in this statement, you can see here that the people who are into logic. In Sanskrit there is a tarkam, a branch, where logic is used to understand many, many things. It's a big science. And Navadvip was the center of these tarkigas who were engaged in this tarka shastram. There were many scholars at that time in tarka shastram in Navadvip. So there this discussion used to happen all the time. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also taught tarkam. That means through logic, finding out the truth, Tarka Shastram. It's very famous, one of the part of the Ubangas, it's called in the Vedam. So there you will know that this Tarka Shastram goes in various ways. That suppose there is a smoke coming from the mountain or from the hill, you can take it, there is fire behind it. Without fire, there cannot be any smoke. In this different conclusions coming out in that way. And similarly, if we have the example of the pot and the clay and the pot is made of the clay. And if you break the pot, you go back into clay. And if you shape the clay in some form, you get the pot. So these changes happening from one form to another, although the basic material is the clay, isn't it? So in this way, in Tarkashastram, there is various assumptions and explanations to all these kind of, and they argue each other on this basis. Whose example is the best, more closer to the truth? So Tarkashastram is a big thing that, therefore, in this, when they are discussing about these topics, it is mentioned there that discussing this will not get you to the truth. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says about that. Discussion in this level, all the acharyas will say this, that Tarkashastram is a branch of the Vedic literature. But simply by engaging in Tarkashastram, one is not going to get to know the truth. So, therefore, it is said that the knowledge of this Shastram is come to a perfection when it comes into the Lakshyartham. It comes to the Lakshyartham. If the Laksham is known, then that is the perfection of the realization. Otherwise, it is useless. Go on arguing about various things, but not getting anywhere. Ghado va mrutpindo prunurabhija dhumo agnicha ajalaha pado va tandurva pariharadikim khorashamana vridha kandha kshobham vahasitarasa talka vajasa padam bhojam shambho bhaja paramasaukhyam brajasudhi. Ghado va mrutpindam ghadam, a pot is made of clay. And pindo anurabhija dhumo agni ajalaha, that the fire that comes from the smoke that comes from the fire, fire is the cause behind the smoke. Fire is the cause behind the smoke. Similarly, the clay is the cause behind the pot. Clay is the cause behind the pot. So, karyam, karanam, in two levels, the cause and the effect. So, in that way, if you look into Bhagavadam also, it says in the beginning itself, janmadhyasya yataha, isn't it? Everything that origin is the soul. From there everything else has come out. So in order to explain the truth, they follow different examples like that. So it says here, padova tandurya pariharadikim khora shamanam. Then similarly the cloth is manufactured, isn't it? Odaprodam it is called. Cloth is woven. And what is in the cloth? It's only thread. But a thread, when they join together, it takes a particular form. In the form of cloth it appears. But actually what exists is only the thread, the cotton that is there. But it has taken a shape in this form of the cloth. And in this way they have various examples. And kim khora shamanam vridha kandhakshopam. But this way if you keep on arguing, it only becomes kandhakshopam. That means you are just wasting your throat. In other words, wasting your sound. So, vahasi darasa tarka vajasa. For tarkam, argument. One person will bring one argument and establish his understanding. Another person will bring another argument. So Tarkashastram is a famous shastram in that way. Padam bhoja shambho bhaja. But if you don't worship the lotus feet of the Lord, what is the use of all these things at the end? It's not going to get us anywhere. This will continue like that. That's what it happens. So finding out, that is what is Lakshyartham. Lakshyartham is this. So, once we reach that Lakshyartham or the goal, karmam will naturally leave us. Karmam will naturally leave us. But that is the purpose of all the karmam. Purpose of all this karmam is eventually the karmam should leave us. Not that we have to get stuck in this pool of karmam, the mud of karmam. Karmam is a mud actually. If he completely gets bound by the karmam, it's difficult to explain, escape from this, the path of karma. That's why, but we have to get to that stage. How to get that stage? That is what Krishna is saying in the next verse. So, that verse, text 3, is coming, the background is this. As Krishna says there, that the karmam is the thing that has to go one day. But karma won't go easily because of the implications of this karmavasana inside. And without karmavasana going away, dhyanam is not possible. Dhyanam is not possible. That does not mean that after realization they don't engage in karmam. But there is a big difference there. Gopis were engaged in all activities.
when the dhyanam was going on inside. Prahlada was engaged in activities, but dhyanam was going on inside. But before coming to that stage, Krishna says it won't happen first unless this karma has left him. When the karma goes away, or when the karma vasana is exhausted, karma leaves that person, and in that place Krishna gets in and meditation starts at that point. That is the state. So, in order to say that, Krishna says, in the next verse if you look, how Krishna presents that to us. Verse number 3 in the 6th chapter.
Aru rukshera munir yogam karma karana uchyate yoga rudhasya tasyaiva shama karana uchyate aru rukshor munir yogam karma karana uchyate yoga rudhasya tasyaiva ശമകാരണം ഉച്യതേം ആരുരുക്ഷോർ മുനേർ യോഗം കർമ്മകാരണം ഉച്യതേ യോഗാരൂഢസ്യ തസ്യൈവ ശമകാരണം ഉച്യതേ.
ട്രാൻസ്ലേഷൻ: ഫോർ വൺ ഹൂ ഈസ് എ നിയോഫൈറ്റ് ഇൻ ദി എയ്റ്റ് ഫോൾഡ് യോഗ സിസ്റ്റം, വർക്ക് ഈസ് സെറ്റ് ടു ബി ദ മീൻസ്. ആൻഡ് ഫോർ വൺ ഹൂ ഹസ് ഓൾറെഡി അറ്റെയിൻഡ് ടു യോഗ, സെസേഷൻ ഓഫ് ഓൾ മെറ്റീരിയൽ ആക്ടിവിറ്റീസ് ഈസ് സെറ്റ് ടു ബി ദ മീൻസ്. ഇറ്റ്സ് എ ഇമ്പോർട്ടൻ്റ് വേഴ്സ്. കൃഷ്ണ സൈസ് ആരുരുക്ഷേർ മുനേർ യോഗം കർമ്മകാരണം ഉച്യതേ. സേ ആരുരുക്ഷു, ആരുരുക്ഷു മീൻസ് വൺ. ആരുരുക്ഷു മീൻസ് സപ്പോസ് യു ഹാവ് ടു ഗോ ടു സംവെയർ, യു ഹാവ് ടു ഗോ എ ലോട്ട് ഓഫ് സ്റ്റെപ്സ്, ക്ലൈംബ് എ ലോട്ട് ഓഫ് സ്റ്റെപ്സ്, ആൻഡ് ദെൻ യു ആർ എ ആരുരുക്ഷു, വൺ ഹു ഈസ് ക്ലൈംബിംഗ് ദി സ്റ്റെപ്സ്, ഹി ഈസ് എ ആരുരുക്ഷു. സോ വി ടോക്ട് അബൌട്ട് യോഗ സ്റ്റേറ്റ് ഓഫ് യോഗ. And we talked about bhakti also, isn't it? What bhakti means. So, the question will come, how can we reach that state where dhyanam, meditation will happen to us? And all of us who are engaged in spiritual life, this goal is inside, how to reach that state of consciousness or peace inside, shanti. So, one who is desiring that shanti or peace inside, he is called Arirukshu. Arirukshu is that person who is trying to climb that ladder of spiritual life to come to the state of peacefulness inside. So, Krishna says, one who is a Arirukshu, Arirukshu Munir Yogam, Karma Karanam Uchyate. He says, one who is absorbed in studying Bhagavad Gita and reflecting on the soul, constantly absorbed in that, and trying to realize the self and engaging in that act, in that process, karmam karanam uchyate. Karmam is the first cause behind it. Karmam has to get cleared, because the process he has to go up is the process of karmam. Karmam is the process. In other words, the first place where he have to put his attention is on the karmam. Is to put his attention on the karmam. Directly, he should not engage in dhyanam, in meditation. It will not work. It is not going to happen. That is why Krishna is saying that Arirukshir Munir Yogam Karma Karanam Uchyate. Karmam is the first karanam, or the first point where one has to start. One has to start. Krishna says there that and this is like this, that any time when we know, when we don't, when we put our efforts directly into something without knowing all the steps before that, and if we don't go through that process, we will fall. At the end, we will fall. We will not stay there, because the right frame of mind hasn't happened yet. That's why karma vasanas have not gone away from inside. Therefore, Krishna says, Arurukshir Munir Yogam Karma Karanam Uchyate. That karmam has, for Arirukshu, one who is going in that path of yoga system, karmam is the first thing where he has to put his attention. He has to put his attention on the karmam. If karmam gets cleared up, then he can move on to the next step, to the process of dhyanam. So he says here that examples are many things like that you can see also.
sometimes you go to these in the villages and all, in the festivals, they sell lot of cheap musical instruments. And there are certain people, they go from one place to another carrying these instruments. They sell, like in all the carnivals and festivals, they sell these different kinds of very, very cheap musical instruments that cost very little. And they are so expert at that, in playing those instruments, and they'll play some cinema tunes or cinema songs or something like that, or some favorite tunes at that time. They will learn that, and they can play on those instruments very well. And these instruments are very, very cheap. Very cheap. And children, when they see that, they want to buy them. And they, when they hear the song, they get attracted to it. So the children push the mother or the father to get it for them. And it costs so little, they'll buy that. They'll take it home and they try to play it, but they can't play it like the way the man who is selling it has played with it. Those who have experience, they'll know that. So then in 1 or 2 days it'll break and you'll throw it away. Finished. All musical effort is over. So in the same way, Krishna is saying here, your dhyanam, in order dhyanam to succeed, if somebody else is doing meditation, let me also meditate. And thinking like that, you sat down comfortably thinking that I'm got all the yoga mat and everything and start the yoga, it will fall asleep. Straight away you'll fall asleep. So that's what Krishna is saying here. Your Arirukshur Muner Yogam Karma Karanam Uchyate. That karmam is the first place where you should put your attention, where things are going wrong. If that karmam is not sorted, all this swinging and everything won't work very far. Don't get very far, you'll stay like that only. Arirukshur Muner Yogam Karma Karanam Uchyate. Krishna is saying this very straightforward on these things. There is no messing around with the words there. So he can't see more straightforward than that. That's why he's saying here that the karmam, he says, you should keep attending your karmam. Karmam has to become karma yogam. Otherwise, this bhakti, as I mentioned before many times in the Bhagavad Gita as well as in the Srimad Bhagavatam, bhakti is discussed. Bhakti is everywhere. Karmam also develops into bhakti. Jnanam also develops into bhakti. At some stage, Brahma Bhuda Prasannatman Nashojati Nakamkshati Sama Sarveshu Bhudeshu Madbhaktim Lebhade Param, Krishna says, isn't it? So, karmam will turn to bhakti, jnanam will also turn into bhakti, and that's the reason why in Bhagavad Gita the two processes are jnanamargam and karmamargam. Bhakti is not a process there, bhakti is a part of everything. Without bhakti, there is no Bhagavad Gita. So, bhakti is the highest realization, what Krishna is saying there. So, in order to get that thing, first thing, Krishna says here, that first thing, the karmam should become nishkama karmam, that freeing from desires has to go from there. Karma vasana has to come to a stop, first thing, and karmam must be purified, purification of the karmam. So, a vikarmam has to become proper karmam, and eventually it has to become akarmam. It is at that stage. So, vikarmam has to go away first. Vikarmam has to be given up, and that should become what is known as vihita karma. Vihita karma means prescribed duties. And in order to do that, Krishna says the first thing to do is to tie down all the senses of action. All the senses of action, karmendriyams, the 5 karmendriyams we have, isn't it? Vaka, Pani, Padam, Upastham, Ayu. So these 5 senses of action, that should be controlled, that should be brought under control first. Karmendriyam. Where does the karmam comes? Karmam comes from the karmendriyam, isn't it? Karmendriyam are the ones behind it. So first thing, tie the karmendriyam down. Senses of action must be tied down. They are not given freedom anymore. That is the first step. To how the keep the karmendriyam under control. All the karmendriyams under control. Therefore, then because in order to do that, Krishna says here, one has to develop what is known as nishtha. Nishtha means that regulating the life. That means that they also, yoga system, they call it as charya. Yoga charya, they call it. That means regulating the life. Regulating the life means to getting up at a certain time in the morning on a regular basis. Then, after the activities of cleaning the body and other things,
to sit down and to chant a certain number of rounds, on a fixed number of rounds every day. That is Nishtha. And chant the holy name. Similarly, doing deity worship. Or engaging in activities like studying Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita. This is all Nishtha. So why is it done? It's done only for one reason, that the karmendriyam won't come out and start acting whimsically. If we don't have a nishtha or steadiness in spiritual life, what will happen is, as soon as you get up in the morning, switch on the telly, breakfast program first. It will go in that direction, isn't it? So, because the discipline is necessary in spiritual life, these things are given to us, that we start with a certain program, Mangalarati in the morning, chanting the holy name, and then hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. What's all this for? It's only to, so that we don't engage in vikarmam. Straight away after getting up in the morning, you don't start the vikarmam. Otherwise, the tendency is very strong to get involved in vikarmam. That's very much there in us. All of us have that. So that is why Krishna says first karmendriyam has to come under control. So why? Because they are the cause behind karma, isn't it? Arirukshera munir yogam karma karanam uchyade. Krishna says there. So, in the normal sense, in order to have the meditation to happen, you can see here, if you start doing that, if you start giving attention to the mind first, you will be frightened with the mind. If you give attention to the mind first. That's why mind is not given attention, rather attention is given unto the senses of action. Senses of action is given attention, not to the mind. If you give attention to the mind, you will fail. It won't work. Therefore, therefore, this routine is necessary. Chanting the holy name and paying obeisances to the deity, deity worship, Srimad Bhagavatam. These are all to keep us, that nishtha, to bring that steadiness in life. Otherwise, it's not going to happen. So, karmendriyam, all the karmendriyam senses of action, control them and develop a certain regulated life for them. And then after that, Krishna says the activities come. So, if the activities are performed with this, if we have a very strong program in the morning in that way, even if we engage in activities during the day, in other activities, there it is possible that this ownership of I am the doer will slowly leave him. I am the doer will slowly leave, due to the power of the morning program. This is why all this is established. It's not that nowadays the tendency is that everyone wants to stay away from the temple and stay at home, and they say, I have my own deities at home. This is not the process. Process is expected, but Prabhupada also said this, that come to the temple, attend the program. For what? For this reason only. But, of course, due to circumstances, it is difficult sometimes, but that's the exception rule. But the idea behind it is this, that karmendriyam, which has got the senses of action, has this tendency very easily to drag us into vigarmam. So first thing, to bring karmendriyams under control, in order to have that, the nishtha is necessary. Therefore, a program is set up like that. If with this training, if the mind is absorbed, if the senses of action are absorbed in that way, our mind will not pop up and start disturbing us too much. And if it doesn't happen, then the activities during the day will become quietly freed from the ownership. I am the doer will slowly go away from inside. This is why it is mentioned like that. So, even if you try very hard from your own effort to control the mind and try to hold on the mind to the yoga process, the senses of action, if they go to the sense objects, then mind will go after that. That's when the mind leaves us. If we on our own try to use our strength of mind and try to absorb in the yoga process, if the senses of action are attracted to some sense objects, they will drag the mind and the mind will go along with that, and your determination is over. Determination is over at that time. So first step Krishna is saying is to keep the senses of action under control. That is what Krishna is saying there. Karma karanam uchyate aarirukshor muner yogam karma karanam uchyate. Krishna says first thing, all the karma in the level, bodily level, that should be purified before we talk about purifying the mind. First purifying the karma in the bodily level, and that is where all these programs set up, starting with Mangalarati in the morning, chanting the holy name, Tulasi Puja and Srimad Bhagavatam. Everything has been set up for this reason only, that the activities in the plane of body is come under control first. Once they come under control, then it makes a lot easier to go into the platform of the mind. Whereas most of us, what we try to do with the mind first, where the karma senses of action itself hasn't come under control. So that's where the problem comes. So Krishna says here that first all the bodily activities should be performed with the intention of purifying the bodily tendencies. In other words, the karmendriyam has to be controlled. Then afterwards says that if you look into the further activities what follows throughout the day, afterwards the mind will quietly withdraw from the results, mind will quietly withdraw from the ownership also, if this program is done in that way. So in the Srimad Bhagavatam, if you look into Srimad Bhagavatam, Ekanath Swami, who wrote commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam, Ekadasha Skandam, only in Marathi language, he mentions about this there, that a personality who is following this process, he says, that he sweeps the whole house, clean up everything, and eventually collects all the garbage and throw it out into the bin. And while even throwing out to the bin, he chants the holy name and he says it is worship of the deity. He considers that as worship of the deity, because worship is not purely what is done in the temple room. That is, deity worship is all his karma is purifying through this process as an offering to Krishna. When that way karma is conducted, that means in memory of Krishna, remembering Krishna, when karma is carried out, without any ownership that he is the doer or he is the enjoyer of the results, in that way when karma is performed, Krishna says that karma will eventually leave him. He will get that purification happening inside. So any karma can be turned into worship. Any karma can be turned into worship. And any worship can be turned into karma also. Any worship can be turned into karma also. Because the purpose of this worship is ultimately to take us into that remembrance of Krishna. If that's not happening, or if the bhavam or the mood inside is not right, then that worship is not any use. Worship is not of any use. So, as I mentioned many times before, maybe in future, don't know what will happen in the future, but a stage might come that we may not have pujaris in the temple. We may not get pujaris in the temple. It can happen. Unless you pay very well, you won't get them. That stage can happen. It can happen. That's a possibility, because how the situation is already happening in many places. That there is, unless sufficient funds are available, they may not be there to do. And with this, all this influence from the industrial world, there could be some robots invented to perform the deity worship. If they can do the job, we'll find there is no labor trouble, there is no asking for bonuses or pension or anything such thing, and wage increase, nothing to be negotiated, and you hand over the contract to some company, they'll maintain the robots who will do the deity worship. So the robot will do a better job than the person. The person may be late by 5 minutes, but if you have programmed the robot properly, he will do on time every time. And Mangalarati means half past four, it will happen. So everything will be done properly by the robot, isn't it? Robot will chant the mantra better than us if we are given properly organized everything. Similarly, all the offerings, everything, the robot can do better than us. But will that become a puja?
It won't be a deity worship, would it? Why? Why it's not deity worship? Because there is no bhavam inside. Bhavagrahi Janardana. Krishna is not concerned about the activities what we do with the body, physical plane, but what is in the mind inside, that is what matters to Krishna. So you can see from there that the activity like the deity worship, even if there, if the bhavam is not there, that will not be a deity worship. And similarly, all other activities what we perform in this world, even if may be a gross karma, but if the karma is, if this consciousness what Krishna says here, it can become a deity worship, it can become a puja, where kartrutvam and bhoktrutvam is not there. If kartrutvam and bhoktrutvam is not there, Krishna says here that bhakti is there, that becomes worship. So, and therefore, in other words, what Krishna says here is that how to change all activities, karmam, into worship. This is bhakti. How to change all our activities, karmam, into worship of Krishna, that is bhakti. That is what Krishna is going to. And the same thing in Srimad Bhagavatam, it is spoken by the name Bhagavata Dharmam. Bhagavata Dharmam is that no matter what the activities are being performed, all those activities, when it becomes a worship of Krishna, that becomes Bhagavata Dharmam. That becomes Bhagavata Dharmam. So that is why you will see there that that understanding that when one engages in karma by chanting the holy name and constant remembrance of Krishna, like the gopis did, like many others, great personalities like Ekanath Swami and many others did, when the activities become in that way, then Krishna says it is Bhagavata Dharmam. So in Bhagavata Dharmam, what's happening is Krishna is the controller. He is the operator. We are the yantram or the machine. Krishna is the operator. This body is nothing but a machine for Krishna to operate. Through us, the activities are happening. That is what Krishna is saying there. So the same thing, if you look into Ekadasha Skandam, when the nine yogis, Navayogis, spoke about this, isn't it? Kavi Maharshi says there, Kayena Vaja Manasendriyerva Buddhyalpanava Prakrite Subhavat Karodi Yadyat Sakalam Parasmai Narayanayedi Samarpayetat. So all karma, it says there, all karma with the body, with the words, with the mind, with the intelligence, with the senses, whatever that is performed, it's performed as a action. With this understanding of I am not the doer, I am not the enjoyer, and it is offered to Krishna in the same way, then it becomes karodiyadil sakal narayanayadi savarpayetat. When it is offered to Krishna, it becomes Bhagavata Dharmam. So practically, where is the difference between Karma Yogam and Bhagavata Dharmam? When Karma Yogam is taken wholeheartedly, with added to that with this element of bhakti, Krishna's involvement in that Krishna is the one who is going to be pleased with these activities, that is Bhagavata Dharmam. Karma Yogam plus Bhakti is Bhagavata Dharmam. Bhagavata Dharmam. So when we talk about Bhagavata Dharmam, Bhagavata Dharmam is a fulfillment of this Karma Yogam. Bhagavata Dharmam is a fulfillment of this Karma Yogam. So Krishna says here that Navayogis have said here that the mind, the body and the intelligence, the understanding is this body is not mine. This body is not mine. It's Krishna's body. Krishna has got the right to use this body whichever way he wants to use it. So that is kayena vacha manasendriyerva. Similarly, when the thoughts are happening inside, it is Krishna who is operating the mind. Krishna who is operating the mind. So in some situations, when we separate ourselves from Krishna, for example, sometimes we say that Krishna wants to do this for me, it's fine. If Krishna does it for me, it's fine. In other words, we have separated from Krishna. Better than that is that to understand that it is Krishna is doing it through us. I am under Krishna's control. Rather than thinking, when we make the statement, if Krishna does this for me, let's see what Krishna is going to do for me. Some people feel that they have surrendered to Krishna
And they make this statement, if Krishna gives this to me, I'll have it. If Krishna doesn't want it, it's not going to happen. They'll say like that. Higher than that is the understanding that it is happening because of Krishna. Whatever Krishna is doing, it's fine. Which is a little difference there, isn't it? In the first instance, we are saying that Krishna wants to do something for me, where my identity is very strong. That you are accepting, if Krishna gives it to me, it's fine. In the second stage, where we are talking about is that Krishna says here that the that when you consider yourself as a machine in Krishna's hands, Krishna has got the 100% control on this body. So whatever Krishna is doing through this body, it is accepted as it is without any further complaint about it. So it is Krishna who is operating through this body or through this mind or intelligence. Acceptance of that is the perfection. Acceptance of that is perfection. Because otherwise, sometimes when we identify that Krishna is going to help us in our effort, if Krishna doesn't help, then what happens? Then that there we have a problem there, isn't it? So although that surrender, when Krishna is talking about surrender, this is an important point in the Srimad Bhagavatam also. When you very carefully understand that surrender process in the Bhagavatam, you will see this difference. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, when it comes to surrendering to Krishna, there are so many personalities in the Bhagavatam who have surrendered to Krishna, isn't it? Kunti Devi surrendered to Krishna. Parikshit's mother, Uttara Devi, surrendered to Krishna. Draupadi surrendered to Krishna. Gajendra surrendered to Krishna. Who else has surrendered to Krishna? There are many, many personalities. Vritrasura surrendered to Krishna. Ambarish Maharaj surrendered to Krishna. They are all surrenders. All are nothing but surrender. They are all Sharanagati, surrendering to Krishna. That is the main topic in the Bhagavatam of the great devotees. Of all these devotees, there is a difference between each of these devotees. If you look at that, you will see them. Three devotees, particularly three surrenders, are given topmost importance. Draupadi's surrender, Gajendra's surrender, and Uttara Devi's surrender. Why these three surrenders are more important? The reason is, they were in immediate danger, all three of them. Uttara Devi and Draupadi, as well as the Gajendra. They were all in immediate danger, isn't it? They were facing serious trouble. But out of these three devotees, Gajendra won't surrender easily, would he? He had to go through a hard time. If you look into Bhagavatam, you will see Gajendra was a great devotee, no doubt. But to come before coming to that, he had faith in his family, in the friends, and the society. Dravyajnana Kriya Brahmam. He had the surrender of all this. Before that, he won't surrender. Gajendra won't surrender before that. So Gajendra had to go through a lot of trouble. Sahasra samama sada, Bhagavatam says like that. For thousands of years, that tussle between Gajendra and the crocodile carried on. He had to wait 1,000 years before anything happened. And after 1,000 years, he realized that nobody could help. First, there were friends. All the faith was in the friends. Before that, Gajendra had a lot of faith in his own strength because he was the leader of the whole group of elephants, isn't it? So Gajendra thought that I should be able to get out of this crocodile's grip. So he pulled. Pulled and pulled, nothing happened. Crocodile is stronger in the water. Elephant is stronger on the land. But he was in the water, so crocodile is stronger. And because of the pull from the crocodile, the pieces of flesh were coming out from the legs of the Gajendra. Gajendra has never experienced this before, because unlike other elephants, our Gajendra was a little special. He has frightened everybody. In Trigoda Parvatam, if you read in the Bhagavatam, you will see there. He has frightened everyone. Even normally the lions are not frightened of the elephants. But even the lions are frightened of Gajendra there. So powerful he was. And he had all this big family with him. And like a householder, full of money in the pocket or any credit cards in the hand, how he goes around in this world displaying his opulence and living his comfortable life. Similarly, our Gajendra also took to the same process. So when he realized that he could not pull himself out, others came to help. But they also tried very hard and they also could not help. Isn't it? So ultimately, nobody could help. And Gajendra realizes that, and finally he takes that last lotus flower with the trunk and offers it to Narayana Akhila Guru Bhagavan Namaste, that last offering to Krishna. So he had to give up his false ego. It took a while for him to give it up. For a while to give up that false ego. To come to that platform, Krishna had to push him through all this state of experiences different. So eventually Gajendra surrendered to Krishna and Krishna gave the protection to Gajendra. Similarly, if you look into Draupadi's state situation, it's not much different from Gajendra. Gajendra's case, he had faith in all his family members and his own strength. Draupadi had the faith initially that all my strong husbands, five husbands, all very powerful personalities, Bhima, Arjuna, and all of them are present there. In additionally, she also thought, when Bhishma is there, and Drona was there, and Yudhishthira, and also Dhritarashtra was there, they will come to my shelter. They will come to my shelter. This false understanding Draupadi had. This is the reason why Draupadi, when she eventually when Dushasana started disrobing Draupadi, initially Krishna didn't come for Draupadi's shelter. So therefore Draupadi had to wait till Draupadi realized that all my so-called brothers are also helpless. They can't do anything. They were not doing anything about it. If Bhima wanted, he could have done something. He didn't do anything. Why? Yudhishthira stopped him from doing that. Similarly, Bhishma kept quiet, didn't say one word about it. Dhritarashtra also allowed his son to do what he wanted. So the whole scenario was such that Draupadi realized that all these people are not trustworthy, with whom she trusted that they will come to her help. But initial trust was in them, not in Krishna. The initial trust was not in Krishna, but in all the family and the husband and the friends and everybody. Look at Uttaradevi, Parikshit's mother. There was no problem. Never trusted anyone in this world. Pahibahi mahayogin devadeva jagalpade nanyam tvadhavayam pashyel yatra mrityu parasparam. Uttaradevi says to Krishna, they were all there. Pandavas, Arjuna was there, Drishna was there, everybody was there. But says to Krishna, you are the only shelter. There is nobody else shelter here. Why? All these so-called Arjuna, Dhritarashtra, Arjuna and Bhima and others, they are also subjected to death. So what can they help anyone? This is Uttaradevi's realization. This is why Uttaradevi's surrender is proper surrender. Knowing very well where to take shelter. Nobody else did that, like Uttaradevi has done. So Uttaradevi took shelter of Krishna in this way. Therefore, Uttaradevi's surrender in the Srimad Bhagavatam is considered to be one of the best surrender. The best surrender among all these three. Draupadi, Uttaradevi and Gajendra. Out of these three, Uttaradevi's surrender is given a higher position because no question whom to surrender and no faith in all the other things. All other shelter. No faith in that. For us to come to that state may take million years because we have all the faith in everything else except in this. Uttaradevi had that strength and that faith in Krishna that she had no doubts in her mind. And she says to Krishna, Manyam tvad abhayam pashyel yatra mrityu parasparam, that there is no other shelter I find here. Because the problem what she was experiencing was that inside Ashwatthama's Brahmastram has gone in and it was already burning the baby Parikshit inside. Parikshit was getting burned. So it was then that she knew that Arjuna was expert in Brahmastram. Arjuna could have done something. No, but Arjuna can't do anything because Arjuna is also subjected to death. Where is the question? Arjuna can protect anyone. So to such an extent, Uttaradevi had so clarity, such a clarity in her thoughts, that she was able to make this statement, Yatra Mrityu Parasparam. They are all subjected to death. Mutually they will have to face this death. So in the, similarly, Krishna is saying here that the when that surrender happens, the devotee's mood is also, you will see that, that Krishna's control, Krishna is protecting me, Krishna is giving the shelter, that conviction is 100% inside in a devotee's mind. He is not thinking anymore that he is actually performing, he is responsible for his own shelter. This is a very high stage of realization and surrender to Krishna. In the Ramayanam also, you will see, when Sugriva and had made this agreement with Ramchandra and Lakshman, Sugriva was living in Krishimogachalam in the mountains. He has escaped there from Bali's control. From Bali, in order to escape from Bali, Bali cannot go into Krishimogachalam. So Sugriva has gone and taken shelter there in Krishimogachalam. So from there, Sugriva sent Hanuman, Anjaneya Swami, to Ramchandra and Lakshmana to make this agreement that Sugriva wanted to discuss with them. So he sent Hanuman to bring Rama and Lakshmana to Ramchandra and Lakshmana to Krishimogachalam. So when they had to go, Anjaneya Swami, Hanuman comes to Ramchandra and Lakshmana, and Ramchandra and Lakshmana asked Hanuman, how do we go there? So Hanuman says to them that sit on my head, on my shoulders. Both of one can sit on one shoulder, another person can sit on another shoulder. And will carry me, I'll carry you both there, said. So at that point, Ramchandra and Lakshmana says, looking at your size and strength, there was a long conversation between Ramchandra and Anjaneya, where Ramchandra understood who Anjaneya is, and the language he spoke, Ramchandra glorifies Anjaneya's knowledge of the Shastram, and so many things in the Ramayanam talks about there. But at one point, Ramchandra says, can you not take us like Kausalya Devi took us as babies on their hips, like the mothers take them on the hips, on one hip, Ramchandra and on the other hip, Lakshmana, like that, instead of sitting on the shoulder. There you have to see what Hanuman says to Ramchandra and Lakshmana, that that privilege to carry on the hips is only for Kausalya Devi, not for me, he says. Why? Hanuman's devotion. Hanuman is saying that if you sit on the shoulder and take me to Krishimukachalam, where Sugriva is there, then it's your responsibility, because it's just like you are on the top of a horse, that you drive the horse properly and take me into the right direction. So similarly, Hanuman says to Ramachandra, that if you sit on the shoulder, it's your responsibility to take me there. Even though Hanumanji was so powerful personality, still that surrender to Ramachandra was from the early days, from the beginning itself, was so 100% that he never saw any time as the master's position is always Ramachandra, and he is the servant. So that consciousness you will see for the devotee, that that is the position, that always under the control of Krishna, always under the control of Krishna, never separate from Krishna, always Krishna's servant. That is the position. So, in the Bhagavatam, if you look, you will say, and in the Kapila Vasudeva says about Devahuti Devi, about Bhakti, it says here, Teshamaham Priyalma Sutascha Sakha Guru Sakha Guru Sukhrudo Deva Mishtam. In the Bhagavatam, when Kapila Vasudeva discusses with Devahuti Devi, Kamala Vasudev says there that the Teshamaham Priyalma Suthascha Sakha Guru Sukhrudo Devamishtam. Whichever way a devotee wants to reciprocate with me, I am ready for it. That is Krishna's position. Teshamaham Priyalma. If he knows that I am the soul in everyone and he wants to relate with me in that way, I am happy with that. No problems with that. Suthascha. Or if he wants to treat me as his son and to develop that relationship with that way, that is also not a problem. Sudascha sakha guru sukhurdo deva mishtam. If he wants to relate with me as his sakhav, sakha means like Arjuna had that relationship with Krishna, isn't it? Sakha means
Sakha means friendship in a way purely on an equal level, on an equal platform. Arjuna has related with Krishna in that way. Sakha, Guru, Sukhrito, Deva, Mishtam. Or if you want to accept Krishna as a spiritual master and want to relate with him in that way, that is also possible. Sukhrito, Deva, Mishtam. Or say well-wisher if you want to relate with him. Or a well-wisher or a deity in that form. Ishtadevada. Sukhrito, Deva, Mishtam. In whichever way we want to relate with Krishna, Krishna is saying it is not a problem. So it is up to the devotee. But whatever it may be, Krishna says here, Sharanagati or the surrender process is this, that we become an instrument or a yantram in Krishna's hands. In Krishna's hands. That is the principle of Sharanagati. Sharanagati means that when we become ourselves an instrument in Krishna's hands, that Krishna is the operator, we are the machine to be operated. Krishna is operating this machine, the body, mind, everything is under Krishna's control. And when that mood is constantly following us, in that case the karmam will become a yogam. Karmam will become a yogam. Otherwise it's not going to become karma yogam. It will remain as a karmam. So karma yogam, the major requirement what Krishna is saying here is Sharanagati again. Coming to this understanding, from a devotee's position, it is Sharanagati. Sharanagati means this surrender, that whatever Krishna gives, whatever Krishna does with us, able to accept it in all situations, 100%. That is what Krishna calls it as Sharanagati. And Sharanagati is leads into Karma Yoga. Karma Yoga happens in that way. In the Shrivan, in the Ramayanam, Krishna says that Bharata story, if you read, you will see there, Bharata says to Ramachandra certain interesting things which you will not come across in this world. Normally, in every institution, everybody wants to be on the top as quickly as possible, isn't it? Either you want to become a general manager or chief executive or chairman or managing director, whatever that is. Everybody likes to have that. Bharata says to Ramachandra something different. Bharata says to Ramachandra that I would like to be your servant rather than the king. For various reasons, he says. First reason is, if you have a king, you have all this kind of responsibility to in this world. You have to make sure that the subjects are happy. You have to protect the kingdom from the invasion from the other neighbor kings. Whereas if you take the position that of a menial servant, Krishna says, there is no responsibility on my head. There's no responsibility on head. Responsibility, he says here, Sujidam nishchidayatyap ubared ubajivadi ramadasidunar jivam yaparan ubajivade. This is Bharata's statement in the Valmiki Ramayanam. He says to Ramachandra like this, that Ramachandra says to him, one who is living in this world under others' control, for him life is much more happier. He is in a happy state because he doesn't have much of a responsibility in this world. So he has more freedom to do what he wants to do. If he is given the meal, he will eat the meal. Or if he is given asked to do some work, he will do that work. So once we have no desires inside, Bharata is saying there, once you have no desire inside, he has more freedom. He has more freedom inside. One who has got all the desires, he is actually a beggar. He is actually a beggar. Because as you know, that the more the desires inside, that he is more agitated. Until he, for the sake of money or for the sake of position or sake of anything, he remains as a beggar. Because the desires means beggar inside. That's why he's saying here that is Bharata says here that heavy load which I do not want to carry. On the other hand, I prefer that freedom to live in this world. So Bharata Siddhantam is like that. This is Bharata Siddhantam. In the normal world, this is not acceptable, isn't it? Most of the people find that Bharata is not very motivated properly. They will say that Bharata is not very professional, or Bharata doesn't have that, Bharata doesn't have the more ambition or motivation. But Bharata says the other way. Bharata says, I don't want this motivation, he says. I'm happy with what I am.
So this is where the problem, that our mind demands something. Karma vasana inside is telling us, I have to get here, I have to get there, I have to do this, I have to do that. But Bharata is saying something different. He says you are free in that way. Actually, why we have to understand Bharata's statement a little closer. So all of us have come to this world to do karma. There is no question about that. Some karma is connected with that, and that is the truth. Nobody has any freedom not to do any karma, because it is for that purpose you have been sent here. The very purpose of coming here is with that. So the very reason why we have been given this material body is for that purpose. Otherwise, why material body? Material body is because of the karma vasanas inside. So if nothing there, at least to plant some bomb somewhere. That's also there. It's also, who sent them here? Krishna sent them there, isn't it? To put the bomb somewhere else and to blast off people. Some karma. He has to do karma. But karma vasana is inside. What can you do? So he has to plant the bomb somewhere, or to throw some stones in the buses or something like that. All sorts of things people do, isn't it? So that karma vasana inside is so strong. And Krishna says, okay, you have a body for that, for plotting the bombs and blowing up a few people. If that's your vasana, what can you do? That's a vasana he has brought with him. So he has to be given the bomb, and he has to do that to get that vasana out from there, inside. So the point is, Krishna says here that so long as this vasana is inside, the vasana will drive us very strongly. So Krishna says, by Sharanagati is the only way if we want to come out of this, surrendering to Krishna, and let that vasanas gets dissipated in the process of Krishna consciousness. So that is what Sharanagati means. That's what the process of Krishna consciousness means. So Bharata says to Ramachandra, you stay as the king. I'll do the work for you, but you remain as the king. Let the headache be on your shoulders, not me. I don't want to carry this headache within myself, he said. So in that way, Krishna says that one, he says to, this is Bharata's discussion with Ramachandra. He says to Ramachandra, one who lives in this world under the control of others, their life is happier. Because they don't have any responsibility. In other words, they have no their own desires inside. They are just acting under the desires of somebody. If you can come to that state, he says there, it is a happy state. So, therefore, he says here, one who takes instructions is better. So, karmam is the instructions have been given to us. Already when we came here, we are mistakenly thinking that we have a lot of responsibility. And I also think that to reach that higher position of in the private sector or the public sector, wherever it is, sector it is, to get there is the goal. That is a misunderstanding. Krishna, that the person in the proper understanding, he says there, that we have no freedom in these things. We have been sent here with some purpose, and whether it is good thing or bad thing, both requires people engage in those activities. So if you understand this, Krishna says that then that karmam will become puja, will become a worship. So if that worship, that I have been sent here to do something, and that karmam has to go through me somehow, if understanding is there, Krishna says that karmam will become a worship. And if it becomes purified inside, then if the purification happens inside, the power of that false ego will weaken. The power of the false ego will get weakened. So little by little, when the false ego weakens, the sankalpam or all the imaginations that's coming from that will also become weakened. And the mind will become subdued. When the mind subdued, Krishna is saying, shamakaranam uchyate. If you look at that verse carefully, arirukshair mune yogam karmakaranam uchyate. Yogarudasya tasseiva shamakaranam uchyate. Shama means control of the mind. Dhamma means control of the senses. Shama means control of the mind, and Dhamma means control of the senses. So, through karmam, karmendriyam, or the senses of action, we control the body first. That is, control the body. So, that is the first two lines. Arurukshir munayogam karmakaranam uchyate. Then the next two lines, Krishna is saying there, that the yogarudasya tasyaiva shamakaranam uchyate. So, one who is yogarudha, one who has reached that state of yogam, he will control his mind in this way. How? Through allowing that karmam to happen through his body, fully recognizing that Krishna is doing the karmam through that body. It's happening through the body. I have no ownership or doership there. So he has freed himself from the I am the doer, I am the enjoyer. He has freed himself from that in that way. That's why he says here that if this situation happened, eventually the mind will come under control, shamakaranam uchyate. At that stage, we can give up karma. When you come to that stage and engage in meditation, dhyanam. What Krishna says, dhyanam, is at that stage, not before than that. So first thing is engaging the material body under a nishtha, under a discipline, to bring it under a discipline. And to come to that stage where body does not demand much action. Everything is training at the end, isn't it? If we control our bodily needs and the mind, body has some disciplined life, then body will not, karmendriyam, will not demand much activity. It will be satisfied with minimum activities. Otherwise, if you don't have a discipline, the mind will, it will dictate to us. The senses of action will dictate to us that how to engage in various activities. So through this process, Krishna calls this karma karana muchyade, arirukshor munir yogam. That process, Krishna is saying, let the body come under control. After that, with the person, yoga rudasya tasseva shamakaranam uchyate, he says. Shamam, or the control of the mind, happens to him when he realizes that all actions are happening through me. Or in other words, freedom from that doership and I am the enjoyer. So, in that state, he brings the amount of karmam he performs in this world. Karmam is brought down. And vyavaharam only for the sake of vyavaharam. Vyavaharam means the minimum transaction what's necessary in this world. Only for that purpose, karmam is executed, and remaining state he is in a yoga state because he is able to absorb his mind in the meditation, dhyanam. Dhyanam comes to him, and that is, Krishna calls it as the yoga state. So, this verse is saying to us, who is qualified for performing dhyanam? In other words, that's what that verse is talking about. Who is qualified for performing this dhyanam? How do we know that we have reached that state? That will be an interesting question, isn't it? Because normally we think we are ready for everything, aren't we? As soon as we, first day after 6 months of reading Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, we will only talk about confidential pastimes of Krishna and Radharani. That's what we want to discuss. So, this is the world we are in. Because every one of us thinks that we are all qualified for everything. So, we begin straight away for in that position. That's why Krishna says here that how do we know that we have reached that state? A child asks the mother, what does hunger mean? What does hunger mean? The mother tells the child, I won't explain to you. When it happens, you will know it. So, like the child doesn't have to be told what hunger means, isn't it? The child knows when it started getting hungry, he started telling the mother, I'm hungry now. So, from that, so the mother's answer was like that. So, similarly, Krishna says nobody has to tell someone whether he is ready for that. Nobody's going to tell him that. In a natural way, when one feels hungry, he knows what his hunger means. Similarly, when we reach that state, we will know that the symptoms of that stage. And that is what Krishna is saying in the next verse.
Yada hi indriyartheshu na karmasvanu sajjade sarva sankalpa sanyasi yoga rudastha docyade. Yadahi indriyartheshu na karmasvanu sajjade സർവസങ്കൽപ്പസന്യാസി യോഗാരൂഢസ്തദോച്യതേ.
യദാഹിന ഇന്ദ്രിയാർത്ഥേഷു ന കർമ്മസനുസജ്ജതേ സർവസങ്കൽപ്പസന്യാസി യോഗാരൂഢസ്തദോച്യതേ.
കൃഷ്ണൻ സെയിങ്, എ പേഴ്സൺ ഈസ് സെറ്റ് ടു ഹാവ് അറ്റെയിൻഡ് യോഗ when having renounced all material desires, he neither acts for sense gratification nor engages in fruitive activities.
So when one has reached that state, when one has reached that state, you don't have to ask anyone at what stage, or there is no measuring mechanism where you can see what stage you are. Normally most of us to take pain to measure others, where is he now, what state is he. But Krishna is telling us to look at ourselves and see where we are. When you read these verses, you can immediately look at ourselves and see what state are we. We are definitely not in the yoga rudha state, what Krishna is saying here. Krishna is saying here, yadahin indriyartheshu na karma sanisajjade. So yoga rudha aryarukshu, two words here. You have seen the word aryarukshu there, isn't it? Aryarukshu means one who is in the path of climbing the stairs to the yogam process. Aryarukshur muner yogam, the another word said that, isn't it? So here Krishna is bringing another word called yoga rudha. Aryarukshu and yoga rudha. Aryarukshu means one who is desiring to reach that state of perfection in yoga. He is aryarukshu. He is climbing the ladder. He has not got there yet. He is just climbing the ladder. Yoga rudha means one who has reached that state. That's the difference. Yoga rudha means one who has got that state. Aryarukshu means one who is climbing the ladder. He is on the way. He is on his way. So Krishna says here, when does he become yoga rudha? He becomes yoga rudha. Krishna says, indriyarteshu na karma sanusajjade. That is what it is. Indriyarteshu na karma sanusajjade. Krishna says here that for him, he won't have much of enthusiasm to do karma. That is the first symptom. Not much of an enthusiasm to do karma. Because I'm not doing anything. I've given up all my work. And when we understand these words, you have to understand it properly, because otherwise we'll misunderstand. Okay, I am a yoga rudha from tomorrow. I got up in the morning, a cup of coffee, sat down in front of the television. I'm not doing any more work anymore because I am in the yoga rudha state. That is not what Krishna is talking about. This is what we must remember. Easily people can misinterpret all these things in the way they like it, and they will bring up all this understanding also. So, and watch everything what's going on in the television, this yoga rudha will watch all that. So, that's why Krishna is saying very specifically, if you look at that word, you'll see, indriyarteshu anusajjade, he says. He is no more feeding the senses. Senses are not fed anymore anything. Senses are not anymore fed anything. That means, with the eyes, he is not looking for something to see. And then, desiring to see, satisfaction of the eyes is television, isn't it? Similarly, to eat or to drink, such things, or to satisfying the tongue, the nose, the ears, all these things, this is called indriyarteshu anusajjade. That's what that word means. So similarly, karma also, because he has no desire to perform karma inside. Desire has gone away to engage in karma. That urge from inside to engage in karma has left him. That is the proof of that. What's the proof of that? It's not given up voluntarily. Karma had left him. Why? Karma vasanas have all finished inside. That is why it has happened that way. So till that happens, Krishna is saying, karma must be done because of the karma vasanas inside. Karma has to be done. But turning that karma in such a way, as Karma Yogam Krishna talked about, without the ownership, I am the doer and I am the enjoyer. When these two things happen inside, Krishna says eventually what will happen is all karma vasanas will get exhausted in that process, and ultimately they will come to the yoga rudha state. That is in the state where he is no more attracted by karma, because there is no vasanas inside. Only when you have karma vasanas inside, you have attraction for karma.
Otherwise, there is no attraction for karma. Who is attracted to karma? Karma, because there is strong urge inside to engage in karma, it is dragging us. We think we are doing everything. No, this man inside, he is there ready to tie us down to something or the other. So that's why Krishna says there, his mind is not anymore, inside there is no urge to engage in senses, sense gratification anymore. And mind is not gone into layam either. That's also you have to remember. The mind has three states, isn't it? Vikshepam, layam and kashayam state. Three states we spoke about. So when the vasanas have gone, it's not creating any more vikshepam inside. No more vikshepam inside. Because vasanas creates the vikshepam also. According to the vasanas, chitavritti will develop centered around the vasanas. And then vasanas will turn into vikshepam. So that has stopped because the vasanas have dried out. It does not go into layam stage because he is alert, jagrata is there all the time, not to fall into layam state. Layam means sleeping state. It's not getting dissolved. Nor is the state, kashaya state is also not there. That means that off, mood off state is also not there. This is the state of yoga. This is the state of yoga. That's why he says here, there is no, that is what Krishna calls it as yoga rutaha. Yoga rutaha. This is, that means stillness inside, that shanti inside the person. So Krishna says here, even though it does not, in the second chapter, even if this does not happen in the boyhood or youthhood, at least by the old age, this state must happen inside. This state must come inside. Otherwise, it will be very troublesome at the old age. Vasanas has not left. Fill karma vasana goes, keeps on pushing from inside. You will never be able to retire from this world. You'll be happy government putting it up. The age. It will be the other way. We want that you'll start protesting. Why not put up the pension age higher? Why keep it 65? Why not 75 or 85? You'll keep demanding if the karma vasana is still inside. So that is why your body may not allow to do the karma, but vasanas have not left and they will demand karma at that time. So that's why Krishna says here that at least in the second chapter Krishna says, at least this state, karma is a bondage. It's not meant to be that we are not meant to work like an asshole day and night throughout life, if this is what life is all about. And Krishna is saying here, karma is a bondage. How to free oneself from the karma. So, but what will happen is, if the karma vasana has not gone, even if at the old age, the eyes cannot watch the TV properly. But you won't watch the TV still. Desire is there. What to do? Inside the desire is coming so strongly. One, then you go to all kinds of efforts, isn't it? All the best opticians, you consult them to get the best glasses and whatever you can do. And you will do that. And you will develop all technology centered around to suit the body at that time. That's what the modern world does, isn't it? We create a situation how the old body can cope with the weakened senses still. So we have developed big letters, books and everything. So many things like that. How to adjust the body to the weakened situation in the senses. But Krishna says here that that if somehow you have to absorb your mind because of the vasanas inside. But when the senses start becoming weakened and we are not able to do anything, what will happen is we'll hate everybody. In the next thing that will happen is we'll hate everyone. Everybody will hate at that time and we'll keep on talking something without any senses. That all happens in the old age. So the state, Krishna says, Yogasthiti, what Krishna says here, that if it is there, we will understand that all this entertainment, which is completely dependent on the senses, which are completely dependent on the entertainment, is nothing but a where you can get cheated, or there where you will get cheated at the end. Because that's when you realize that. When you think about it at that age, that all the senses are not able to give you any more pleasure, all the senses have done throughout life is that it has put you into this awkward situation at the old age, where you are completely under the control of the senses.
senses will dictate and you are unable to do anything about it. And that's when we realize that the sense gratification was not the right option. Sense gratification did not get us anywhere. So, having said that, Krishna says that there Indriyartheshu, one devotee who wrote a famous song, it's very well known in the Vedic literature, it's called Mooga Panchashati. 500 verses he wrote about Kamakshi in Kanjivaram, Kamakshi's temple. So when he was a poet, he had great literary knowledge, but he couldn't speak. That was his state. So intensely he worshipped Sri Parvati, Kamakshi. Kamakshi blessed him with a lot of capacity to speak. Beautiful verses he compiled. 500 famous verses known as Mooga Panchashati. Panchashati means 500 verses on the Mooga. Mooga means one who is, dumb, isn't he? Dumb. Yeah, dumb poet. He is called dumb poet. But these verses started flowing out from his mouth because of the Sri Parvati's special mercy to him. After the 500 verses were spoken, he prayed to her, take away that potency you have given to me. I don't want anymore to talk anything anymore. And he stopped, went back to the same state again. Mooga Panchashati's famous verses in the Bhagavatam, in the glorification of Devi. Sri Parvati's glorification. She is the controller of the tongue. Like, if you see that. So, Mooga Panchashati, it says like this, that after writing that Mother Parvati manifested there and asked him, what do you want? He says to her, make me dumb again. Make me dumb again. Because if I start talking again, start gossiping, he says. So rather, I don't gossip. So all unnecessary things I'll talk about. So the purpose of speaking, I've already got it. I've already got what I wanted. In other words, his understanding was, Mooga Kavi, his understanding was, I've got this potency, but that potency is only for glorifying the Lord, glorifying Krishna or Sri Parvati whom he worshipped. Beyond that, I don't need this for any other purpose because it will only create problem for me later. So, conscious was of that thing. He says here. Though in the Bhagavatam also, if you look into Srimad Bhagavatam also, you will see when you talk about Sudama story, Parikshit will talk about that. He says, Sudama's nature, that from the very early age, he has tuned his senses in such a way. He has tuned them in such a way that there is no attraction for any kind of sense gratification. Prashandalpa jitendriyaha, that jitendriyatvam, that complete control of the senses was there in Sudama. Therefore, none of his senses had driven him in any direction. In any direction. Neither the eyes, ears, nose, tongue, touch, smell, nothing. All senses. That's why Sudeva Goswami uses that word. Prashandalpa jitendriya. Because he was jitendriya, he was prashandalpa. Prashandalpa means that Shanti was inside. There was abject poverty, absolute poverty at home, but total fulfillment inside. Prashandalpa. Why? Jitendriya. That Jitendriyatvam has brought that state in him. So, Krishna's point is that somehow or the other, the senses should be trained to develop some taste for Brahma Sukham. Brahma Sukham means Krishna consciousness. Somehow or the other, senses must be trained in that direction. And slowly, it should lose the taste for sense enjoyment. Slowly, it should lose the taste for sense enjoyment. That is why he says here that in the case of Sudama and many others, we will notice this one thing, that prashandalpatvam, or that separate existence of that fulfillment and peacefulness existence in them, is purely due to that jitendriyatvam. Prashandalpa jitendriya. Jitendriyatvam was the cause behind it. So, once that, Krishna says, once yoga rudha state comes, he started slowly tasting the experience of the soul inside. Once we experience the soul inside, our taste for the sense gratification will quietly disappear. Otherwise, taste gratification won't go. Simply by forcefully, if we do that, it will not happen. That's why Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Param Drishtva, Rasavarjam Rasopyasya Param Drishtva Nivartade. He says in another chapter that Rasavarjam Rasopyasya means the rasa or the taste for sense enjoyment has left him because he has found some taste in higher thing. Higher. Param Drishtva. In other words, in the soul. He has found some taste in the soul. So spiritual happiness is something that will take us away from the sense gratification. And that is what Krishna is discussing here. First talking about Arirukshu, one who is on the path of yoga, advancing on the path of yoga, and then Yoga Ruda, who has reached that state. Two different personalities Krishna is discussing here. So, at that stage Krishna says that it is not renunciation. It's not renunciation. What is that then? That it is not a renunciation coming from the strength of the mind, but experiencing the understanding of the soul, or when we understand Bhagavad Gita better, when we start realizing Bhagavad Gita, in other words, automatically the attraction for sense enjoyment goes. That is the beauty of Bhagavad Gita's knowledge. When we start realizing the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita, automatically the attraction for sense enjoyment will leave us. It is not done through the strength of the mind. Attraction goes away. Similarly, karma also, in all other vyavaharam, all other transactions in this world, the taste for that leaves us. So, people work in this world not for the sake of working. Not for the sake of working alone, isn't it? People working this world not for the sake of working alone. So they have various reasons. One is working in this world. So some people cannot stay without doing any work. Why do they work? Because it has become a disease for most of the people. So karmam is not a yogam, it becomes a karma yogam then. It's not karma yogam anymore. It becomes a karma yogam. And that is a disease at that time. So people also are concerned about others, what they are doing. If you are not doing anything, they will say like that, isn't it? Oh, he's not doing anything. What's going to happen? You're not doing anything. So that is that state. Krishna says it is very dangerous. And so in this way, Krishna in this sixth chapter, as an introduction to dhyanam, Krishna says, sort out these things first before talking about dhyanam. So when the karmam part is through karma yogam, that is why karma yogam was spoken before dhyana yogam. You can see the flow of Bhagavad Gita, how it is. It's not whimsically Krishna spoke about karma. First he spoke about karmam. Reason is dhyanam will happen only after karmam is sorted out. When the karmam has come through this process of karma yogam, and through this understanding, aham karta, aham bhokta goes away from that. Ragadvesham develops from karta bhokta stage, isn't it? Attachment and aversion comes up because of karta bhokta stage. So karta bhokta, ragam dvesham has left him. In that state of consciousness, he is purified, ready to move into the dhyanam stage. And you can see it is after that Krishna is going to talk about bhakti later. So we will discuss that next Sunday. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.